Psalm 103. Twenty-two verses. You'll find, if you carefully count, you'll find 17 reasons why we're to praise the Lord. You'll also find 5 mentions of attributes in the beginning of it, from verse 3 on. This psalm, magnificent. If you study it, you'll be overwhelmed with gratitude. You will. It's suited for all ages. It's appropriate to all persons. It's applicable to all conditions. And if you'll notice it and look at it very carefully, there's not any petition that takes place or occurs in the 22 verses. Not one petition. It's a description of the wonders of grace. And with the exception of one thing, just one thing now, there is an example of the writer, David, of steadfast obedience to the Word of God by the good man of God. If you check his life, you'll find the one instance was over David, over Bathsheba, David and his relationship, Uriah. But the rest of the time, he was steadfast in confession. He was steadfast in obedience to the Word of God. No wonder God called him a man after God's own heart. Sometimes we not maybe with purpose, but we capitalize on the fact that he sinned. What about all the rest of the things that this king, David, first king of Israel, what about all the rest of the things that he did that were good? Let's watch closely now. Because if you check this psalm, here's what you'll find. This is an outpouring of heaven-taught gratitude. It is. I am taken back. I'm called, my attention is called to my own heart, my own being. But I am taken back about the lack of gratitude that is expressed in so many, many people. Now, obviously, you'll find that in the world, the system. Let me say it again, the devil's cauldron. But how could that be in a child of God? How could that be? When you and I look at this psalm tonight, particularly these first few verses, will you let the Spirit of God correct you if you need it? Will you let Him exalt God in your heart? This has been called David's Hallelujah Chorus. This is a psalm of perfect praise. It begins in a certain way and ends exactly the same way. So if you check, watch closely, verse particularly 1 through 7, here is God's man, David, praising. And in this praise, you can count out those 5 attributes for which a believer can offer praise as you come before the Lord. look now from verse 1 as I read, and then we'll stop at verse 3 and make some comments. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Did you get those words? And all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Now, the first of the attributes. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Do you know what that is? That's a full pardon from Almighty God with full satisfaction. That's what it is. For every child of God in confession. You know, sometimes we treat confession lightly. Don't do that. If I have sinned against a holy God, and I have, and I do, then ought it not be the greatest case for, on my part, remorse? He's not a man. He's not a Supreme Court justice. He's Almighty, perfect God. And if I do something knowingly that's against His word, ought that not be a case of great sorrow on my part? Ought it not be? It is not a same-o. It is not a little tidbit. It's an infraction that has brought an affront to a holy God. And I say, I want to learn, and I say from Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. All right, amen, amen, and I mean it, and I pray it, and I want it, I long for it. And then in my daily walk, I sin. That is a big deal. That's a big deal. And I come and I, on the basis of 1 John 1 9, I confess my sin. And I get a full pardon with full satisfaction. Iniquities. All our ingrained perversity. You get the meaning of those words? All our ingrained perversity. All the waywardness of our being. All the waywardness of my being. See, one of Satan's titles is the accuser of the brethren. And I just mentioned a case with a young man who loves the Lord who was falsely accused. And this one, this accuser of the brethren, I know you know this, but be reminded of this. He hates God. And he hates God's people. And he hates the work of God. And anything that's done for the glory of God, this wicked one hates it. Settle it in your thinking. That's a big deal. He hates it. And therefore, he looks for opportunities to us before to bring accusations about us to God's throne. And he sifts us. He sifts our souls and he tells stories about us. Now don't get the idea that he tells a lie about you. He doesn't have to. All he has to do is state what you've done when you sinned against God. Now, I would call that a big deal, wouldn't you? And therefore, he tells the truth about us and about our failures. But now, think of this. What happens when he appears before God and he speaks as our accuser? What happens? You have the classic illustration in Job. But hear me. For you, for me, in this hour, in this day, as soon as the accuser of the brethren appears, he is stopped. He comes as the adversary. And having already stepped up for our case is the advocate. The advocate has never lost a case. He's your representative. He's your attorney. He's mine. The Lord Jesus Christ. You look at those hands of his, and you will know the representation for a child of God. Because you're a child of God, you are protected. All is forgiven, and all is forgotten. And all the sins are taken away, and they are put somewhere else. They've all been put on Jesus. He has taken them away, and he has put them in the sea of God's forgetfulness. No, I mean, now you talk about hallelujah chorus. Even if you can't sing, you ought to sing it. Amen. So David sees the believer as a forgiven penitent. He forgiveth all our iniquities, says the blessed book. Now watch that second part of verse 3. Who healeth all thy diseases. The chief reference here is to the soul. Now, it's not an injustice to consider the body, but the main thought here is to the soul. And let's understand that God never bestows forgiveness without granting renewal. Did you get that? Don't miss that. By which the corruptions of our hearts are washed away. When you confess your sin, and you're sincere about your confession, and by the way, within the concept of thought, when you confess your sin, within your heart you're determined not to do it again. That is sincere confession. And when you do that, there is a thorough and washing on God's part for your benefit. And you are forgiven. And it is forgotten. And then you continue in the Word of God. Pastor, I had a terrible temptation this morning not to read. I can't I don't understand it. I really don't. But boy, I was there where I study, and I thought of everything under the sun that I might do and not read and not meditate, not think, not focus on the only one who makes the difference. And I thank God I finally overcame it and read once again Philippians 2 plus, 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 plus. But I don't understand why there was that almost I would call it a determined influence and effort to keep me from reading. And God undertook for me the one who healeth all our diseases. And when I was through reading, it was the Word of God that washed my thinking and set me aright so that it was easy for me. Praise the Lord for full salvation. God still sits upon the throne. And I know the blood still reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Oh, and I mean, David is not the only one that can dance. Praise the Lord. And victory was given. So when I come tonight, there has been in my heart a renewal. Thank God, thank God, thank God. See, what is pride but lunacy? What is anger but uncontrolled fever? What is waywardness but weakness? What is lust but leprosy? I mean, what is laziness but creeping deadness? The sinful passions are the diseases of the soul. Those things that lurk and would grasp you by the spiritual throat and choke the breath out of you so you cannot serve in victory free from guilt. The healing comes on the part of the one that has a balm in Gilead. And so, all of the discrepancies of the heart can be cared for and taken away. Look at verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? You see, He redeems your life from going to waste. Did you get that? Many, many, many people live their lives and they're wasted. Sometimes they become aware of it when they're old and the regrets are terrible. Sometimes some catastrophic event takes place in a life and it rattles the cage enough that they wake up. It's not always so. Some people seem like they are determined to destroy themselves when they don't even intend to, but they're doing it. That's what's wrong with a drug addict. That's what's wrong with the alcoholic. That's what's wrong with the one who becomes involved in pornography. It grasps the person, their whole being, and it so twists them into a condition where their thinking is anything but healthy. And they do things that earlier in life they thought they would never do. You and I have to understand that in His redemption, He has redeemed us from a life of waste. Thank God. See, sin has made paupers of us all. We are poverty stricken without the Savior. And our lives have been scarred and ruined and pawned for a pittance. And then the Lord Jesus came into the pawn shop of life. And at Calvary, He paid the price of redemption. And what a price it was. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be made rich. At Calvary, He not only redeemed our souls from hell, but He redeemed our lives from destruction. Thank God that He redeemed our lives as well from destruction. I mean, we can bless God for that. We can all of a sudden quit being so formal. I'm not talking about wildfire bouncing off the wall. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about that kind of spiritual excitement that can overtake you in such a manner that you can't do anything but praise the Lord. So here is redemption from many mortal dangers in this life and from everlasting death and hell. Look at the second part of the verse. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. That means compassed. Compassed about. Loving kindness and tender mercies. This is like God taking us into the palace and into the throne room. And He's going to crown us, hear me, He's going to crown us the way He does everything else. You say, what do you mean? Just think of the morning of creation. When God commanded the seas, He did not say, let the waters bring forth fish. He said, let the waters bring forth fish abundantly. Did you get that? That's the superlative. I mean, think of Moses and Miriam. The Egyptian army had been washed away. And how did Moses put it? The Lord has triumphed gloriously. There's your superlative. And you know what? God is going to crown us in abundance. He is. And by the way, that's a big deal. Yeah. Crowd, I said, that's a big deal. Yeah, amen. Yeah, amen. And those of you who didn't get right, then look at verse 5. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. Wow. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. He satisfieth thine old age with good things. Now don't miss this. so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. How wonderful to be one of God's happy people. Isn't it true? You have nothing to be down in the mouth about. If it's a matter of sin, confess it. And that's the only thing that would cause you to be down in the mouth. Nothing the rest of life, because of the grace of God, the goodness of God, the power of God, the protection of God, the provision of God, nothing. No, it's all enough to make you joyful. You see, here's the point. The devil does not have any happy old people. Did you know that? Doesn't? Mm-mm. No. In fact, he does not have what it takes to make anybody happy. And especially old people. You see, he would not make people happy even if he could, but he can't. Howard Hughes, in his day, was the wealthiest man in the world. His estate and probation amounted to $2.5 billion. Did you hear that? Billion. The last 20 years of his life, hardly anyone saw him. And he spent most of his time in his pajamas. And he lived on fudge and chocolate cake. And he died weighing 90 pounds. Could I ask you a question? Does that sound like a happy man? But if we could check and know, I wonder if Caleb sang the Hallelujah chorus. Huh? Well, if he didn't, you could take his place and sing it for him. Huh? Amen. Oh, amen. See, here it is. David, in his later years, he raises this psalm of praise to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He was God's man. He was God's old man. He was God's happy old man. Pastor, will you come?